Welcome to Scotch Friday Podcast. My name is Carmel Sacrin, and I'm your host. This podcast is part of our leadership series during the COVID-19 pandemic. The coronavirus has impacted every aspect of our daily lives. Our federal and provincial elected officials have set aside partisanship and political theater in the fight against COVID-19. The pandemic has become the rallying cry for everyone to join Team Canada. So how has the business of Parliament and the role of parliamentarians changed during this pandemic? Are there any positive takeaways, or will Parliament go back to the way it was after the pandemic? To shed light on these questions, I have with me a very special guest, Karina Gould, Member of Parliament for Burlington and Minister of International Development. Welcome, Karina.
Thank you. Delighted to be here.
Well, we're delighted to have you. Before we get started, Karina, I want to share with our listeners some of your background. And there's a lot, and I will be quick. You are 33 years old. You grew up in Burlington in a family with three brothers. At 16, you participated in the Forum for Young Canadians, spending a week in Ottawa, learning about the federal government, which you credit as the impetus for your goal of having a career in Parliament. After graduating from M.M. Robinson, you spent the next year volunteering at an orphanage in Mexico, where you met your future husband, Alberto. You returned to Canada in 2006, and you attended McGill University, where you earned a joint honors degree in political science, as well as Latin American and Caribbean studies. You wrote your honors thesis on the Canadian electoral system. You graduated first class honors with distinction in 2010. And during your time as an undergraduate, you served as president of the Arts Undergraduate Society and helped organize fundraising for humanitarian aid for Haiti in the aftermath of the 2010 earthquake. In 2010, you took a job with the Organization of American States in Washington, D.C. You subsequently completed a master's degree in international relations at Oxford University. And upon completing your graduate studies at Oxford, you decided to move back to Burlington. You took up a job working as a trade and investment specialist for the Mexican Trade Commission in Toronto, where you held the position for less than a year before announcing your candidacy in 2015 election at the ripe age of 28. You were elected first in 2015 as MP for Burlington and then again re-elected in 2019. In January 10th, 2017, you were named Minister of Democratic Institutions and President of the Queen's Privy Council for Canada. These appointments made you the youngest female cabinet minister in Canadian history. You're not afraid of controversy. In June 2018, you breastfed your child during question period in the House of Commons, which attracted wide media attention. My favorite is when you got a shout out from President Obama. What I do?
Good. Yeah.
There was
great.
More.
I feel like I'm learning about myself. So that's good.
Well, I'm sure you've heard it many times. Karina, I want to first ask you how you and your family are doing.
Oh, thanks, Carmel. Well, we're good. Going on 6 weeks social distancing and then, staying home. So we're kind of in the new normal like everybody else. We've given up TV restrictions, I think, for my son, because at some point you just got to let it go. But other than that, we're doing good. We're okay. So thanks for asking.
And how are you spending your day? Do you get enough sleep?
Do I get enough sleep? I think so. I'm incredibly busy right now between being the Member of Parliament for Burlington, the Minister of International Development, mom and wife and daughter and sister, and still trying to be a friend sometimes as well. They're pretty busy days, but I think, maybe this is par for the course for other people who are more used to working from home, but I pretty much wake up and I'm on the phone until I fall asleep at night, either on the phone or Zoom, but I'm spending a lot of time on the phone with world leaders, with different heads of different UN agencies, counterparts around the world, really trying to shape the global response to COVID-19.
And how are you managing working remotely?
Well, I have a wall of laptops that kind of keep me connected, and I have three different cell phones. So between my ministerial and member of parliament and personal connections, so I am, very, very connected. It's challenging because both my MP team is working from home. I think they're doing an absolutely phenomenal job, responding to constituents and making sure that we're supporting the needs of people here in Burlington. And my ministerial team is working from home as well. So, the coordination is maybe a little bit more challenging just because we're not all in the same place. But, every morning I have a staff call with my constituency office to run through what the top issues are that we're hearing, what I need to follow up on with different ministers to make sure that, people in Burlington are getting access to what they need, and figuring out what the gaps are. I think that, one of the things that we've done as a federal government is we've essentially rewritten the entire social security safety network in Canada in the last month. And so we're absolutely trying our best, and we want to make sure that we're supporting everyone, individuals and businesses. But it's been really helpful for people who have been reaching out to let us know where there are gaps. And the federal government has been trying to address them as necessary.
I want to just take a step back and ask you, do you recall when you first realized that COVID-19 was going to be a national crisis? We know when the various announcements came out, but when you first started to sense that there was going to be a national crisis?
It's a really good question. I mean, we'd been tracking this issue in cabinet since the first case was reported to the WHO back in January. So we've been preparing for this for a long time. We knew that it was going to be coming to Canada. And I think, we felt like we had we'd had a pretty good handle on things until end of February, beginning of March. I had actually gone away with my family the first week of March and came home on March 7th. And the next day, March 8th, it felt like everything changed. I think it was seeing what was happening in Italy and Spain and trying to see, did we have a handle on things here in Canada? And things really started to accelerate with March break coming up. And that's when I think, as a country, we were concerned about what it meant for people who were traveling and coming home and what that meant for containment measures. But actually what we saw is it was happening even faster than that. I think we put the containment measures in place at the right time in Canada. I think we're seeing the fruits of that right now. And I mean, there's still unfortunately too many cases and people who have lost their lives and will, but we're not seeing the kind of just really awful scenarios that we saw in Italy, Spain, or are seeing now in France, Germany, the UK and the United States. So I think Canadians have been really responsible. They've really followed the advice of public health. We're seeing the results of that. So it's time to stay the course. But yeah, I think it was that first week of, or the second week of March when things just moved so quickly, right? And that things really began to sense that, wow, this isn't just something that's happening over there. It's now happening here too.
And there are regular announcements by Prime Minister Justin Trudeau that we hear constantly. Even today, there was a further announcement, an adjustment and modification to the CERB measures, which I'm sure you'll mention. Can you comment about this evolving CERB, and it seems to be we're learning as we go. There's a lot that's happening, and we're getting a lot of feedback, I guess. Can you comment? Am I correct to assume that you're getting a lot of feedback, you and other MPs, and everybody is kind of working for the same cause, or am I mistaken about that? What's happening?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think one of the things that has been, really heartening about this whole thing is that generally, MPs are working across party lines. I mean, we did see, unfortunately, some kind of partisanship over the weekend when it came to what would be possible in terms of in-person sittings. And, you know, we ended up seeing that the government and then the Bloc and the NDP voted together, just because, you know, we have to maintain the health and safety, not just of members of Parliament, but everybody who works in the House of Commons, which unfortunately the Conservatives, you know, weren't necessarily taking into consideration with their demands. Overall, I think that this has been a really positive experience. And, you know, whether it's MPs from different political parties or different levels of government, we've really seen a Team Canada approach on, you know, overall with our COVID response. And that has been really, really important. You know, I think ministers have tried to make themselves as available as they can to MPs within their own party, but also across party lines. I know that, you know, I try to be there for my critics as well, to keep them informed of what's going on and to hear from them. But, you know, when it comes to the CERB, for example, you know, that was already an iteration of the initial programs that we had put in place, recognizing that we wanted to make it as simple and easy and as accessible as possible to Canadians to access income supports. And so the, you know, what was initially proposed were two different programs that was rolled into the CERB. We tried to make it as reasonable as possible. For some people, they may have been working two or three part-time jobs and they lost one job, right? And that meant that maybe they were still making, you know, some money, but it was not nearly enough to cover their expenses. And so we adjusted to say, okay, so if you're earning up to $1,000, then you're still eligible for the CERB. We tried to adjust to make sure that it was inclusive of people who perhaps were in seasonal work, or the other gap that we saw was for people who were perhaps on EI and their EI has run out, but they're unable to get a job because of COVID. So really trying to be flexible and adaptable. And as the Prime Minister has said a number of times, you know, perfect is the enemy of the good. And we recognized that we needed to respond quickly and get as much support out to as many people as we possibly could. And now we're adjusting as we need to. And this week as well, you know, one of the areas that wasn't addressed, or one of the groups that weren't addressed by the CERB, were students who perhaps either are recent graduates, so they don't have the previous income, or are relying on income from summer jobs that no longer exist for their upcoming school year. And so this week we announced the Canada Emergency Student Benefit. And so that will be rolled out in the coming days and coming weeks as well. So, you know, whether it's individuals or businesses, we're listening, we're available, and I'm having lots of conversations with folks in our community as to what their needs are. And so, for example, the Canada Emergency Business Account, the Canadian Wage Subsidy, you know, these are all things that we put out there. We've changed and adapted to make sure that they address needs of Canadians. And today we actually announced a subsidy for rent for businesses as well, which is really important. That was actually one of the number one issues that I was hearing about from businesses in our community. So really glad that we came together with the provinces to make that a reality.
Karina, just for our listeners, because we're conducting this interview, this podcast virtually, you're in your home and I'm in my office, the voice sometimes gets muffled. So I don't know if there's anything we can do to improve that, but I apologize to our listeners. I just want to go back and speak about the communications, because communications is key between elected officials. And I'd like you to comment on the communications that you're having with the region's office and Marianne Mead Ward, our mayor here in Burlington.
Yeah, absolutely. So Marianne has actually put together a COVID task force for Burlington. And so we meet on a weekly basis to share information and provide updates. So that's been really helpful when it comes to the region. if needed, we chat, but we haven't had that much interaction with the region. But I think Gary Carr and our chief medical officer have been doing a really outstanding job. And one of the other initiatives that I would really applaud our mayor for is the telephone town halls that she's organized. But I think really great community to call in, listen, and she's made sure that, you know, myself, that Jane McKenna, our MPP, is there, that the hospital is there to answer any questions that people in Burlington have. And I think that's been one of the most effective forms of communication. And I'm also doing Facebook Lives every Friday morning so people can tune in.
I've tried to tune in, but I don't have Facebook.
Oh, well, you can actually.
So I'm sorry, but I get your messages, and I just don't have Facebook.
Well, you can actually just watch the link. You don't have to have Facebook.
See, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so you can actually just click the link, and you can watch. You can't. I don't think you can participate, but you can watch.
So what is it that you try to get across in your weekly live Facebook sessions?
So, I mean, first of all, I try to give an update on what the most recent announcements were this week from the federal government, or each week from the federal government. And then I go over the top 3 to 5 questions that are sent to my office every week, recognizing that not everyone is going to email me personally. So share that information. And then, just let people know what we're doing and where we are in the curve, and reinforce that the measures that we're taking are working, and that we're doing the right things here in Canada, but also answer any questions that come up from the folks that are watching as well.
So let's turn the clock forward 5-10 years. What is history going to say about how our politicians responded to this pandemic? And I don't mean you, just I mean all politicians in this Team Canada. Can you comment on what kind of grade are we going to get?
Well, we're still in the early days, Carmel, of the pandemic. But I think as of right now, I think that politicians, I think we're going to do fairly well, in the sense that we're all working together, whether it's at the municipal, the provincial, or the federal level. We've really seen people put partisanship aside, put differences aside, and work together for the good of Canadians. As I said, we're still early days in the pandemic, and hopefully, we'll be coming through this soon. As of right now, I've just been so incredibly heartened to see the collaboration, the good work, and the Team Canada approach that everyone is taking.
The calls that your office is receiving from constituents, can you give us a flavor for what kind of concerns, worries, requests you're getting from constituents?
Yeah, I mean, it changes, I'd say, on a weekly basis, depending on what's going on. But definitely the top two issues are surrounding access and eligibility to CERB, to the CERB. The other one is with regards to business supports. So those are the two biggest areas that we get calls on. I think with regards to the CERB, mostly it's people just trying to ask how they apply, so either online or the phone. So it's kind of helping you navigate how to do that. And then with business, for the first couple of weeks, it was sharing what the issues are, where they need support. And more recently, it's turned more to just guiding them to how they can apply for the supports that they need and they require. But those are the main ones. We also try to, well, we hear a lot from seniors who are looking for help at issues for deliveries. And so we connect them with local organizations that are providing those services. So the United Way and Halton Food for Life are doing a lot of that, as well as the Burlington Food Bank.
Now, I know you're very involved in the community and various charitable causes. Can you just tell me what your feedback is from the needs of local charities?
Well, they're great right now. The needs are very great. I would say that, you know, if you can, please consider donating to Halton Women's Place. You know, we are seeing an increase in domestic violence across the country, and our community is no exception to that. And so they do need all the support that they can get right now. You know, the food banks continue to need support, so please consider making a donation to them. The other areas that are really important are mental health supports. So the Reach Out Center for Kids, the Kids Help Phone, the mental health doctors here in Halton. There's a new federal website called welltogether.ca, I think. So there's a portal, free portal to access mental health supports. But I would say that, you know, if you have the resources, please consider making a donation to your favorite local charity, because they're, you know, people maybe aren't necessarily thinking about giving right now, but it's actually a really important time, and we want to make sure that our charities can get through this and can continue to serve the, you know, the vulnerable and the needy populations that we have here. And if I could make another pitch, you know, I think local conservation charities are also really important to think about right now. And I know we're all focused on health, and that's the right thing to do, but we can't forget about environment either.
Karina, the temporary pandemic unit, the 93-bed temporary pandemic unit at Joe Brandt, I understand we were the first, and I'm hoping to get Eric Vanderwall on one of these podcasts, but can you share some insight, any early information you had about that unit, and can you share with us any information you might have about it?
Well, I mean, really, that was an initiative from the hospital, the city, and the region, and I think it demonstrates really good foresight and thought leadership and action to make that happen. You know, what we needed to prepare for in Canada was a surge, because that's what we saw had the greatest impact on the healthcare system's ability to respond in a pandemic. It's what we saw in the horrific scenes in Italy and the devastating news out of Spain, as doctors having to make really difficult decisions about who gets access to a ventilator or who gets access to an ICU bed. And so, you know, Eric's vision to make sure that we had that surge capacity here locally and in the region was really important to make sure that we wouldn't have to make those really difficult choices. And so I'm really proud that Burlington did that. As far as I know, I don't think we have had to use it too much, but I'm not the best placed to provide that information. So talking to Eric is probably the right thing to do. But I think, again, it just shows how really all levels of government have been working together and have been doing what we can to prepare. And I think that Canada is really fortunate. I mean, it's fortune and planning, right? As soon as we learned of the new virus in China, we took really significant measures here in Canada to slay and trace any and all cases. And we did that very, very well. Which enabled us to put planning in place in the event that there would be a surge capacity, so that we wouldn't see what happened in New York, where all of a sudden it just comes as a wave. That being said, we can't take our foot off the gas, and we have to, you know, stay the course, because, you know, this could happen. It could still happen. And even once we start relaxing measures, we have to be really alive to the fact that there could be a second wave. And so we have to be really thoughtful and careful about how we kind of come out of this this lockdown that we're in.
So, Karina, before I let you go, people are wondering, when is my life going to get back to normal?
Well, I don't have an answer to that. And I think that we have to realize that whatever we do coming out of this, we won't be quite back to normal. We're going to be living in a new normal for quite some time, and probably until there's a vaccine that is developed. That being said, once we start to see a complete flattening of the curve, we still have to go down the other slope of the curve. And so once we start to go down, then we'll start to see gradual reopening of the economy. I don't exactly know what that's going to look like yet, but again, we have the added benefit of being 2 to 3 weeks behind other outbreak centers. So we can kind of build off of their experience and to see how things go there. So that's really lucky. That, you know, it's not happening here first, so that we get to learn from others' experiences, which, you know, enables us to hopefully make the most informed choices. It will be a gradual reopening, but we're not quite there yet.
So after the pandemic, how do you see the business of Parliament? Do you see it going back to its old ways, or have there been some positive takeaways when it comes to getting things done?
Well, I guess we're going to have to wait and see. So starting on Tuesday, we're going to start with some virtual parliaments. So I guess that will be a window into seeing how things operate or don't, I guess, moving forward. But I'm always optimistic. I'm always hopeful. I think maybe having a virtual parliament will be interesting because you won't have the ambiance of that kind of riles people up. So maybe we'll get some more respectful debate and conversations in that context. I'm hopeful for that. But this will be historic. It's the first time that we will have a virtual parliament in Canada. And so we'll just kind of have to see how it goes, take it one day at a time and see what positive lessons we can take from this as we go back to Parliament sitting in Ottawa.
Well, I can't end this without calling you Minister Gould. I know that we know each other personally, but I want to thank you, Minister, for your precious time, for being front and center, for being a pleasant face who's always giving us inspiration and positivity and informing us and letting us feel that there's good leadership taking care of us and looking out for us. So thank you, Minister Gould, for everything you're doing to your colleagues on all sides of the aisle and of every political spectrum and every level of government. Thank you so much. We appreciate and we are so happy that there is a Team Canada looking out for Canadians. Thank you so much, Minister.
Oh, thanks, Carmel. It's such a pleasure.
Thank you. And to our listeners, please remember to have your say and go to our comment section on the podcast website. Thank you for listening and goodbye.